Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is a Titans Monday after the big win of the New England Patriots. And Floyd, they just showed a stat on NFL Network about 30 minutes to an hour ago. And it was the Titans offense before the bye and the Titans offense after the bye. And it was like before the bye, 13 points a game. After the bye, 30 points a game. The Titans are just absolutely killing it. They killed Dallas. They killed New England. Floyd Reese, you the one that said, okay, you know, here comes the bye week at the right time. You come back from London. You're 3-4. And the Titans have looked like a really, really, really good football team in the two games since the bye. What is the biggest change that you have seen in those 2 weeks? Like, what, like, as I, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, what has gotten into this team?
I mean, I think it's things they've been trying to do all along. But once again, when you've only been together for a few weeks, it's hard to get those things down. And we talked about the Rams and what the Rams did. And halfway through the season, they started lighting it up. So I think we have to hope that maybe we're headed down a similar path.
Well, we actually looked that up, though, and the Rams were kind of lighting it up in September last year, too. The Rams were kind of clicking on all cylinders for most of the year. I would say the thing to me that like stands out about this is it just feels like Marcus and the receivers are on the same page for the first time ever. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, even though, okay, now they've been in the offense longer. But like Batson, who, you know, has been on the team, off the team, on the practice squad, off the practice squad, Batson and Mariota are on the same page. Jennings and Mariota are on the same page. Davis and Mariota are on the same page. Firkshire and Mariota are on the same page. That, to me, feels like the biggest difference in the whole thing. That and the defense, like we kept saying, like, okay, we think the Titans' defense is good, but we don't think they're elite. Like, they might actually be an elite defense.
Well, because you're a backup doesn't mean you can't be on the same page as the quarterback. Now, you don't get as many reps as some of the starters. But, I mean, some of these guys have been in systems similar to this. So their understanding is a lot more, you know, updated. I mean, I think we're looking at a group that has not been through that. And you just keep hoping that, you know, with these guys playing well, that it catches fire and that, you know, maybe other guys look at that and think, hey, you know, I need to start doing that. I'm seeing everybody here catch balls but me, and I need to, you know, if your name's Taylor, you probably fit into that category someplace. And he needs to start looking at that and saying, uh-oh, I need to start finding a way to be productive. But, I mean, the truth is, the longer they go, the better they should be.
I just thought to myself, somebody tweeted me, Ramal tweeted me earlier today on Twitter and said that he was like, Batson, he goes, I trust him more than the kid from Western Kentucky. He's talking about Taylor. I trust him more than the kid from Western Kentucky. And now, I mean, I think it's kind of, I'm getting to the point where I'm looking at the receivers and I'm like, hey, there might be some competition around here. Like, how are you going to take Batson off the field right now and put Taywan Taylor back on it?
Well, I mean, I'm going to guess that's probably not a real hard decision, but.
You tell me not to get carried away with Batson?
Huh?
You're telling me to not get carried away with Batson?
Yeah, I'm saying let's not get carried
away with Batson. He's made some plays, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he has made some – the throw to Firkshire, oh, that was a beautiful catch by Firkshire. A beautiful catch.
He's got good hands.
Yeah, he can't block because they played him for two snaps yesterday. And if he had a pulse to be able to block, he would be playing tight end for the Titans. But, what about the defense? Has anything changed there? Are we ready to say, okay, maybe, like last week we said they were good, but we were like, okay, but they're not elite. Well, they just – held Tom Brady, went to 10 points. I mean, they looked elite yesterday against Tom Brady. Adoree Jackson looked like a number one corner yesterday. I mean, is it time to sit there and say, hey, the defense after the bye looks to be legit? I mean, to be elite?
Oh, I mean, the defense has been legit all along. I mean, you heard Bill. Bill said they're the number one defense in the NFL, and they were giving up whatever it was, 17, 18 points. Well, they only gave up 10 yesterday, so that is headed down. It's going to be even lower. So, I mean, the defense has been pretty impressive all year long. Now, there have been spells, but guess what? That happens to everybody. You know, everybody goes through that. And I think when you look at it and you say, okay, what would you like to do to really, really make it better? I mean, the only thing you can come up with, especially against a guy like Brady, is rush. Well, yesterday they found a new, different, unique way to get that rush. So, I mean, that's I think you have to hand that to the coaches about how well they prepared and, you know, they put some thought into it. And, of course, we know Dean knows Bill in New England probably as well as anybody.
Well, and Vrabel. I mean, I think one thing we've learned in the Texan game and this game is when Vrabel's playing a team that he knows, he game plans for them so well. So, like, only if they could get Ohio State on the schedule. Like, because when he coaches against the Texans, he had them off balance the whole game with a backup quarterback and backup tackles. And then when he game planned against New England, you know, I heard somebody talking today about pressure up the middle. We heard that all before the playoff game about, hey, you got to pressure Brady up the middle. We've only heard that from everybody every time New England plays. But Vrabel and Dean got the pressure up the middle. So that, and they got it with like everybody. Jayon Brown, Kilgo, Correa, everybody, they got it in one way or another. Let's get back to your phones. By the way, the one thing that is kind of bothering me, it's a little pet peeve or something, is everyone saying that the Titans have the best defense in the league or the number one defense. That's not factually correct. Belichick started saying that last week because that was kind of his message to the team of, hey, they have the best defense in the league, and now it's caught on to where, like, everyone's saying, hey, they're the number one defense in the league. That is not true. They have the number one scoring defense in the league, which means that they give the least amount of points, which is a great stat.
Which is the absolute most important stat that matters.
But that's not how you grade best defense.
They can have all that other stuff. If you can be number one and giving up points, you're the best defense in the league.
I agree. But again, that's not the way that they do it. So, like, if they wanted to make number one defense be number one scoring defense, I'd be okay with that. But it's not. It's technically about total yardage. You have the sixth best defense in the league, according to total yardage. So you do not have the number one defense, no matter how much Bill Belichick and everybody else on TV says it. Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. Ralph has been holding patiently on a reaction Monday. Titans Monday. Go ahead, Ralph.
Hey, George, how are you doing?
Good.
I feel we have to give you some credit for Mission Engineers for the past 3 weeks to get some more opportunities. Oh. And I feel we got lucky yesterday. We have no number 13.
Who are you talking about?
I feel we got lucky. We have no number 13s.
Oh, got lucky with no Taywan Taylor out there. Yeah, there we go.
Did you change his number? We can do that.
Well, what did you think of Klein yesterday? I know you don't like Klein, but I thought Klein played really well.
Well, they all play good, but Klein could be better always. You know, Marcus Murray got a couple of sacks, 3 or 4, and he got hit several times, too.
There is some truth to that. Thank you for your call, Ralph. I thought the middle of the offensive line, which everyone's complained about, Jones, Spain, Klein, I thought they were all great yesterday. They were great.
Yeah, I think they started off really, really well, and then you know, they shut it down. So then they started going to the perimeter a little bit, and that worked well. And then they shut that down, and then they went back to the middle.
Oh, and
Kelly, that worked pretty good. So
Kelly, maybe the best replacement in the league. That guy never misses a beat. You know, Conklin goes out, Kelly goes in there. Kelly always plays well. By the way, I hate it for David Fluellen, what happened to him. You know, he was just starting to kind of come along, and Fluellen was kind of giving them a little bit of a problem, and then Fluellen goes down. Vrabel said today it's not an ACL.
Oh, that's good.
That he's going to be out for a while. Oh, well. So it tells me it's probably one of those other.
Not an ACL.
CLs. Like a, what, like an MCL or a meniscus or.
Yeah, could be all that. But if it's not an ACL, at least he'll have a chance to pick it back up later.
Charlie is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, guys, I've got two things to touch on. First of all, this is for you, Jared. If you have to point out three things that you don't flip-flop on, you might have a problem, but, you know, it's fine. You and Floyd play different roles. The second thing is that there was a caller on here last week that was talking about, you know, if we give Marcus Mariota $100 million for the next 5 years, that's the biggest mistake in the NFL history. Here's what I have to say to that. We're seeing Marcus get hot, and as we see that, as we always have, there's always a point in the season when Marcus gets hot. Do you want to give that man up? Because I sure don't, anyway, that's all I have to say.
Yeah, when did he get hot last year, though?
I think the thing that's important with Marcus, especially from this point on, and especially at this point in career, his career, he needs to accelerate this process. You know, I mean, what he's done the last, you know, 2.5, 3 weeks, whatever it is, is good. But now we need to go ahead and improve it. We say all the time, you know, if you can go out and if you can be 17 for 24 and get 2 TDs, you're going to win most games. And that's kind of where he was yesterday in that ballpark. So we can see that we don't necessarily need to go out and throw for 450 yards to win a game. But I think there are going to be games where you have to do that. And that's why you want Marcus to keep improving and get to the point that, you know what? All right, we can go out and we can play, you know, whoever you want to talk about, the Rams or Kansas City, and we can go blow for blow with them. And if you can get to that point, then you've got a legitimate, you know, NFL quarterback.
Well, that's the problem when I go over the top teams in the AFC is, like, if you get into a matchup with Pittsburgh, right? Like, if you're playing the Steelers, you know, I think you're better coach than the Steelers. You're more disciplined than the Steelers. You might have a better overall roster than the Steelers. They have better high-end players, but you might have, like, a better total team than Pittsburgh. But can Marcus really go toe-to-toe against Ben and Brown? Like, can he really go? If Ben's going to throw for 340 and 3 touchdowns, can Marcus go toe-to-toe with that? You know, yesterday he did out-duel Brady. And you know what's crazy? In his career, against Rodgers, Breeze, and Brady, including the playoffs, Mariota is 3-2. You take the playoffs out, he's 3-1 as a starter against Breeze, Rodgers, and Brady.
Which is good. I mean, that's
not... Stop acting like that's not a big deal. That's a big deal.
That's not a big deal.
That's a big deal. Like, he out-dueled Tom Brady yesterday.
He did not out-duel Tom Brady.
Yes, he did.
He did not.
Brady's numbers were
How many times did they line up on the field together?
Zero.
So it doesn't matter. It's not him. It's the defense.
You don't think that those Brady-Peyton games were Brady out-dueling Peyton and those? That's what a quarterback duel
is. You don't have. Okay.
Brady, 21 of 41, 254, 3 sacks. Mariota, 16 of 24, 228, 2 sacks, 2 touchdowns for Marcus. And he had a better catch. He had a better catch than Brady. I will say this, too. The one thing that really did bother me about yesterday's game from the Marcus standpoint is totally superficial. And that is that I wish that Marcus threw for more yards. Like, not that they needed him to throw for more yards, not that he was in more throwing situations, but, like, you know, 228. Like, throw for 330 and light up the Patriots, and then I'll be like, hey, he threw for 330. And so that I thought was fantastic. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We're live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet. There is one thing I think that we have got to address about with the excitement of the Patriots win. And we'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This season, they are minus 18 in the first and third quarters. They are a plus 81 in the second and fourth. Brady is sacked. Wesley Woodyard gets to the quarterback for Tennessee.
You know, they had a good plan, and I thought they did a good job executing it. I think, you play from behind all day. You know, it's not very ideal, and we just didn't play well enough to make enough plays to ever score the touchdowns we needed to, but it was just a bad day.
Tom Brady, 21 of 41, 254, no touchdowns, although he did not throw an interception, and he had 3 sacks. His QBR was 29.5, Mariota, 88.2, Jennings led the way in QBR for the day at 99.9. So, although that's not very surprising, as excited as I think Titans fans are about the game yesterday, and as excited as they should be, do we need to look at how the New England Patriots played yesterday and say, well, maybe Tom Brady just didn't have a good day? Because he didn't look right yesterday.
Well, they didn't. He didn't have a good day, and they didn't have a good day. You know, they couldn't run the ball. He was not. His timing was completely off, completely shattered. But the truth is, part of that is because of the defense and what they did. I mean, it wasn't, if you would have just gone out there against air, he would have shot your eyes out. But when he got a little pressure, and we talked about this, got a little pressure, and I think, you know, our coverage was much better than they'll ever get credit for. I would love to look at the coach's view, you know, the end zone of them covering, because I'm going to tell you what, just watching Tom, I know they did a great job of shutting those guys out, because Tom could not get the ball off when he wanted to. And that's the biggest part of his game. That's the reason he never gets hit. He comes back, drop, plant, ball comes out, and, you know, now later on in the game, when they started playing more zone and backing off, and, you know, now they're ahead by 28 or whatever the score was, they're figuring, fine, go ahead. And if you look at Edelman, I think that's where he got most of his production. But he also took a beating. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think for the first time I was watching those guys, and I thought, man, they look tired to me. And I don't know how much of that was us just beating up on them. But, I mean, even you look at the rookie running back. I mean, the rookie running back couldn't do anything.
Nope.
Our defensive front was 31. Just outstanding. I mean, they, you know, they shut the run down, and they used those exotic-type blitzes to put pressure on Tom. And then Tom got to a point where he's trying to get rid of the ball, and he can't do it. And, I mean, I thought it just really, really worked to perfection.
Well, and the thing I don't get, though, that I'm still trying to kind of figure out is what was up with where Brady was going with the football. You know, Edelman, 12 targets, I get that. Gordon, 12 targets on Adoree Jackson, the best defensive player maybe on the Tennessee Titans, who Dallas didn't throw at. I cannot remember in the Monday Night Football game hearing Adoree Jackson's name called on defense, which told me that they were not throwing at Adoree Jackson. So Jason Garrett says, I'm not going to throw at Adoree Jackson. And Belichick throws at him 12 times. And then after that, James White had 8. The rest, Dorsett and Hollister had 2. Dwayne Allen had 1. Hogan, 1 target. Brady had as many targets as Hogan had targets.
Right.
Like, why? Like, that didn't make any sense to me. Like, why was Brady not looking at Hogan when Malcolm Butler was covering him the whole time?
Well, I think Butler was covering Hogan.
I know, but it wasn't as good as Jackson covering Gordon.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Butler could cover. I mean, Hogan is pretty run-of-the-mill.
Brady said on the radio in Boston this morning that on the fourth down play to Edelman that basically sealed the game when Logan Ryan jumped over the back and knocked the ball down, that Brady missed Hogan wide open down the sideline on Butler, that Hogan had beaten Malcolm down the sidelines, and he missed him and didn't see him, and he should have thrown it to Hogan and didn't. But I was stunned with that. And plus, there were a lot of throws that Brady made where they were kind of quick, and they weren't very accurate, or they were off, or they were too high, or they were something like that. And I'm like, that's not the Tom Brady that I know. And then there were other times where I'm like, okay, this is where Tom Brady gets them right back in the game. For example, right before the half, they're down by 7, and they get the ball with, I think, like 6 minutes left. And, yeah, 6:27, and they're down 17-10. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, here they come. They're down by 7. They get the ball with 6 minutes. Here comes Brady. They'll score with a minute left, go to halftime, get the ball back. And they went 3 and out. They went 3 and out, and they targeted Gordon twice with Jackson on him. Like, what are you doing?
Well, yeah, but they've got Gordon. They're not worried about Jackson. You know, if you have a guy like him and you're Tom Brady, you figure he's going to beat anybody you put out there at some point in time. And I think that's what they, you know, they figure you're going to continue to put the ball on them. That's why I wonder about, we talk about Davis disappearing in some of these games. I'm wondering if part of that is Marcus just looking out there and seeing a really good corner on him and thinking, well, maybe he's not going to get open. I need to look over here. When, in fact, you know, we may have learned yesterday that you don't need to take your eyes off of him a great deal if, in fact, it's, you know, that's part of the progression.
Does Indy have any good corners?
Their secondary was young, much better. Their pass rush is better. I mean, they've got the leading tackler in the league. I mean, they are playing much, much better than we ever would have imagined.
Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. We go to Keith, who's up next. Thank you for calling. What's up, Keith?
Yeah, this is. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Yep. Really good to love you guys' show.
Thank you.
I would just two tidbits. Number one is the fact that I grew up a New Orleans Saints fan, moved to Tennessee, immediately chose them as my number one team. It really sucks that so many people that live in Tennessee now are still Patriot and Green Bay and Raiders fans when the Tennessee Titans bring a lot of revenue into the state. Can you imagine the jobs that would be gone if the Tennessee Titans decided to pack up and leave because we do not support them?
Sure, but the Tennessee Titans also make a lot of money, too, off the, you know, the state.
Yes, I've been a season ticket holder for the last 7 years, okay? And on yesterday's game, there were only 5 Tennessee Titan fans in the whole area, and it appeared to be a sellout practically to me. People that I know that have season tickets selling their tickets just to make money rather than supporting their team, that's a drag. It's really, in all honesty, something I think that should be mentioned and we should think about because our team does need support.
I agree. I appreciate your call. I agree. I mean, first of all, I think you go to the game with whoever you want to go to the game with. And if you want to sell your tickets, you want to sell your tickets, that's up to you. I think the problem the Titans have, and nobody talks about this very much, but whoever runs the operations of the Nissan Stadium is doing a horrible job. Like, a horrific job. Like, the lines to get in the stadium get worse every game. And this game, it was like a 40-minute wait to get into the stadium. So if you're like a local fan, like if you're a local fan and you're like, why would you buy season tickets to go wait in line for 40 minutes, miss the first 4 drives of the game, and then finally be in there with 4 minutes to go in the first quarter? Why would you waste your money to do that? So I think the Titans have a much bigger issue that nobody talks about because most people watch the game on TV, and so they don't think about the long lines to get into the stadium that the Titans don't do anything about. But I think that's a big problem. I don't begrudge any Titan fan who's like, you know what, screw that. I'll sell my tickets to the Eagles game and the Patriot game because I don't want to stand in line for 45 minutes or go to concession stands that aren't any good or, you know, deal with the same stuff that the Titans never fix. The football stuff, they're doing a great job. John Robinson and those guys, it looks like they're on the right path. The off-the-field stuff is abysmal. And I worry about what the draft's going to look like if the Titans people that handle that stuff are put in charge in any aspect. It may be an unmitigated national disaster if the Titans people are in charge of the draft. That's how bad that their stadium people are. I mean, it's bad. So I look at that and I think to myself, you know, why would you not sell your tickets, you know? Or why would you not, if you got a Patriot friend, go with them? Because, like, I think the local fans look at the Titan games like, I can just watch it on TV. Why wouldn't I do that? You watched it on TV yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Did you not watch it on TV?
I watched it on TV part of the time.
And the other part?
I mean, I missed some parts, so.
Why'd you miss some parts?
Busy. Got stuff going on.
Oh, come on.
Where are you going?
What were you doing? Who were you with?
Nothing.
Who do you think he was with?
Sounds a little fishy. I don't know.
Sounds fishy. But the Titans, and I mean this in all seriousness, because I look at the media as kind of the resource for the fans. For all of you fans out there that were like me that were stuck in the line for the gate yesterday, were stuck in line for 40 minutes waiting to get into the stadium, I'm the person on the radio that's here for you. Like, I'm about to start naming names on the radio of people who need to be fired if things don't get better. Because it needs to get better. Because it is a joke. It is a joke the way that they run those lines at Nissan Stadium. A joke. I had club-level tickets. You know, they have a club-level entrance that's, you know, supposed to be easier for you to get in and out of the club level by doing that. You're backed all the way out to the back. It was a 40-minute wait. And I asked the guy for fan services. I said, hey, why is the line not going fast? He's like, well, there's a lot of people that sit in the club level. Well, no, duh. But if you get to the Predators at 6:30, you're not in your seat in the middle of the first intermission. No, you're in there on time. So figure it out. I tried to set the baseline with my friends who are who are Patriot fans, who are from out of town. I tried to kind of set it with them, and I said, the Titans might be, at when they're letting people into the gates, they might be the worst team in all of pro sports at getting people into the stadium. So I tried to set the expectation level, and they're like, oh, no, I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure it will be. And then they realized after the fact, yeah, it may be the worst in all of pro sports. It is so bad, and it needs to get better. And if you really want to pack the stadium with your fans, Titans, you will do something about it. We'll take more of your calls. 615-737-1025. It's Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
10 points today for New England. Team that was fourth in scoring at 30 points per game. They'll go to trickery. And a toss. Lefty Jennings to Mariota. You want to do it? We can do it as well. That's the Tennessee viewpoint right now.
Before you pulled that plug, you had the double reverse pass. What goes through your mind when that play comes?
Well, I wanted to see if it looked any better than there, so.
And did Marcus catch it better than Tom did?
He got up quicker than Tom did. I know that.
What'd you think of the throwback pass?
It's fine with me. I mean, I thought he got to points in the game where he really opened up the playbook, did some unique things that are good to have on tape for, you know, future games. People look at that and they think, oh, we better be careful now. So, I mean, it didn't bother me.
It kind of bothered me a little bit. Like, it kind of felt like he was kind of putting Belichick's face in it and Brady's face in it. Because I think there's a chance you play these guys again. And if you play these guys again, I'm just telling you, it is not going to be, you know, as easy as it was yesterday. Not that it was easy yesterday. You had to put your best effort out there. But if you play those guys again, it's probably going to be in Foxborough, and it's probably going to be about 4 degrees outside. And no offense, but just like I picked Brady and Belichick last week, I'll pick them again if you play them again.
Well, that's in the playoffs. I mean, it won't be the same team you saw yesterday, I promise you.
And so that's,
of course, we might not be either. Maybe we're better than a lot better by then.
I didn't like it. I just thought it was a little, you know, especially Vrabel's take on it after the game. I heard a Boston radio host talking about that today, and they were like, they think that is like such a Vrabel thing to do that they were like, that Tom and Bill probably didn't even get mad about it. They're probably just like, freaking Vrabel. That is such a Vrabel thing. And I'm like, okay, maybe that's how they take it. I don't know. I think they really enjoyed it. I think they really enjoyed beating the Patriots. Not that they shouldn't enjoy beating the Patriots, but like, I think some of those guys got caught up a little bit too much in getting excited about beating the Patriots. Because now all I'm worried about is Indianapolis. You know, I'm just sitting there like, oh, no. I've seen this team beat New England before and then turn around and lose to Buffalo. And so make of it what you will. Let's go back to your phones, unless you've got a thought. 615-737-1025. Brian is up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Brian.
Man, how are y'all doing today?
Good.
Hey, we went in like gate three, and I thought they moved the lines pretty good. I think we weren't in line maybe 10, 12 minutes time we got through security, and about another 2 minutes before we scanned our tickets and got in. So I was actually kind of pleased, because when we came in, we drove in from Knoxville because we went to UT game that the night before. And we was worried we was going to miss kickoff, but, you know, they kind of got us right on three.
I'm stunned. So maybe gate three is the only gate where they actually work correctly. Thank you for your call, Brian. That may be the only gate in the stadium where it works correctly. I mean, it was so jam-packed yesterday. Oh, it was so bad yesterday. Horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Whoever's in charge at Nissan Stadium needs to figure it out, because everything, including the stadium clubs, were, like, backed up to the street. It was abysmal. Let's go to James, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, James?
Hey, guys. I want to contrast yesterday with the Baltimore game. So I was at Titan Sports Park on the Thursday before the Baltimore game, and there was a guy who came in behind me, wanted to get inside the facility, said he worked for the company that was involved with the printers, and I was talking to him. It was taking a while for him to get in. He was upset. And I kind of thought to myself, this guy sounds like he's from Baltimore. And so when he finally got in, I joked and said, he's a spy, don't let him in. And I know that if you hook something into a printer, you can get everything that's been printed off on that printer for like a day or two. So what does the...
Okay, thank you. Enough. No. I'm not doing conspiracy theories that the Titans practice plan got jacked by the Baltimore Ravens 3 weeks ago. I'm not doing that level of conspiracy theory talk. I think they played terribly in the Baltimore game. I think this is what I think. I think the Baltimore game was as bad of a game as they could play. Fair?
Probably.
And the Patriots game is on the exact other side of the spectrum. That is as good as they can play. Yesterday was a total 180 from the Baltimore game. And every other game on some level of a varying degree has been somewhere in between. And the question is, how do you get more games like the Patriots game than you got like the Ravens game, where it was the worst you've ever played, or the Bills game, or the Dolphins game, or some of those, and get more games like the Dallas game, the Charger game, the Texan game, or the Jags game?
That's the million-dollar question.
But it's a lot more than $1 million.
Everybody's wanting to know exactly how you do that.
Well, you're the GM, so you got to tell us how.
I don't know. I mean, I know that they're feeling better about what they're doing. I think they're executing it better. I think the ball's coming out quicker. I think Marcus got rid of the glove. I think that helps. I think he's obviously feeling healthier, but without the glove. And I think particularly in the last 2 weeks, if not half of the week before, I mean, he's throwing the ball better. He's more accurate. It's coming out quick. He's very decisive. He is throwing with confidence.
I mean, a month ago with whatever that injury was, there's no way he throws that ball to Jennings like he did in the Dallas game, or that ball to Batson on the sidelines yesterday. That throw to Batson on the sidelines was a thing of beauty yesterday. Now, I'm still a little concerned because the ball comes out of his hand and it looks a little wobbly like a duck. And I'd like to see, you know, a nice tight spiral come out of his hands. But he's getting the ball to the guys on time. And did you notice yesterday he was kind of throwing it some before the guys got open?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he's gotten better at that the last 2 weeks. Where the ball is coming, I mean, it's leaving his hands before the guys are breaking. Before that's why the touchdown pass to Davis, the go pattern, mm-hmm. was so beautiful, because he threw that ball so far in advance to where Davis was going to end up catching it, that if he would have thrown it on a line, he would have overthrown him by about 5 yards. But so what he did was he put all that air underneath it, and the thing just came down beautifully, dropped right on his hands. I mean, it was special. And that's tough to do now. That is hard.
615-737-1025. The Colts are upcoming on Sunday. They just beat the Jacksonville Jags, in which I don't know what to make of. Are the Colts good or the Jags bad? I think it's probably a little bit of both. The Colts might be a little bit better than I've been saying all year.
Oh, yeah. Colts are good.
But.
And we've never beaten luck. Ever.
And I'm sure that will be a theme of the week.
Ever beaten luck.
Let's take more of your phones. Hey, speaking of that game Sunday, we will be live at Nashville Underground for the pregame show. 9:30 to 11:30. Again, live at Nashville Underground featuring Jared the GM and Chris Sanders. Brought to you by Boda Box Wine, Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Tate Granite, a division of Tate Ornamental. We hope to see everybody there. I get called a flip-flopper all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is a bigger flip-flopper than Chris Sanders. Chris started the show yesterday picking the Titans, and then in the last segment where we make our picks, pick the Patriots.
Yeah, I didn't. I think I remember that. I remember him talking about it.
You remember it? Yes, you just love Chris too much. So I cannot wait till Wednesday. I'm going to have to get on Chris's rear end. Now, speaking of Chris, we got to wish him good luck. They're playing Brentwood Academy on Friday.
For all the marbles.
Well, it's like, I think it's the semifinals.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, next week is the championship. So, which I'm already counting NBA in, because I believe Chris's coaching will put NBA over the top. So we're wishing Chris luck there. I just wanted to get on Chris for being a flip-flopper yesterday. But we'll be at the pregame show on Sunday. Jared and the GM are on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Crowd is loud in Nashville. 4th and 6 for New England. Brady knocked away. Logan Ryan. Edelman the target. And the Patriots hand it over to Tennessee on downs.
That was the ball game right there on a 4th and 6. And remember the other day when Eddie George said, hey, they have got to get Tom Brady off the field on 3rd down. And I was like, how? How are they going to get Tom Brady off the field on 3rd down? I was worried that Tom was going to get off, make 3rd and 13s look easy. He made 3rd and 4s look hard. That's a 4th and 6. That should be automatic from the Brady that we know. And I'm trying to figure out what Belichick and the Patriots were trying to do on offense. This was Belichick being asked after the game. You'll love this one. Belichick being asked after the game about how Josh Gordon had so many targets.
Bill, is a guy like Josh Gordon getting like 12 targets and other guys like Hogan getting one? Is that the way you guys want things, or is it just how it happens?
Yeah, we talked about this ad nauseum, Greg. Nothing's changed. We don't design passes to go to one guy unless it's a screen pass.
Do you think Tom was effective finding?
You'd have to ask Tom. Yeah, you'd have to ask Tom.
Okay. So what was Belichick trying to do on offense yesterday? When you watched that game, we know what the Titans were trying to do on offense. They were going right at Stephon Gilmore. We know exactly what their plan was. We know what their plan on defense was. They were man for man, and they were trying to pressure Brady from the front. What was Belichick's plan on offense yesterday? What were they trying to do? Because I'm not sure I got a grasp or a feeling of what they were trying to do. When you watched it yesterday, what did you think New England was trying to
do? Well, I mean, the number one thing is that they didn't have the ball very much. I mean, we said time of possession and being able to convert third downs and doing those things was going to be critical. And we saw that it was. I mean, we had the ball, I want to say 33 or 34 minutes. Once again, and so that means they've got a 20. So, and Bill's watching this, and he's seeing this, and he's thinking, it's not Bill that's making the calls, but so he's thinking, well, you know, we gotta find a way to get some points. I mean, we're already down by 14, and just getting warmed up here. So, I think they were trying to get the ball to Gordon, which I would have done too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this was the deal. I think Logan did a great job on Edelman. I think Butler did a great job on Hogan. The best chance he saw was trying to get it to Gordon. And he figured Gordon is just going to be that much better than this young corner. And turns out he wasn't. So, I mean, again, I think, the addition of pressure to the fact that he was not comfortable throwing the ball out there because he could see the coverage and he knew they were going to be covered and struggling to get open. And then the pressure comes and now you're getting hits on him and you're getting sacks. And you saw him later on in the game. I mean, he just kind of crumbled a time or two because he knew it was coming. And it wasn't because somebody was hanging on him as much as he'd already taken a stab or two at the pass. Nothing's there. He knows the rush is going to get there at some point in time. So, I mean, he just went down.
I think the whole key to – now, I think Jackson is – it felt like yesterday was a coming-out party for Jackson. Not that we didn't think Adoree was really, really good, but, like, that was a – you don't have to have interceptions to be a great corner. And I think Adoree has proven that. He's not really an interception guy. He's got a couple this year, but he just locks guys up.
Well, if you play man for man, you're not going to get many interceptions. Huh? Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to be a zone corner to get, those guys
Richard
get
Sherman.
7-8 interceptions. Those are zone corners. Guys that are true man for man cover guys, you don't get a lot of interceptions.
And I just think Adoree was great yesterday, and Vaccaro feels like kind of the missing link in this.
It was nice to have him back. I thought he had a little chemistry, a little continuity, and right off the bat.
And he was good in Dallas.
When they threw the ball to, who was it? I think it was a screen to.
Was it White?
James White.
To
yeah.
White, yeah. And I'm going to tell you what, he came out of nowhere, and that was a thud. And he, I think from that point on, he kind of set the tempo. Everybody went like, oh, okay, we're here. Let's go.
Back to your calls. Eric is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Eric?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I
I was impressed with the Titans' win, but I think what also impressed me about it is that they did all that. They performed the way they performed on a short week. So, Jared, I'm with you. I'm nervous about this Colts game. Most likely the Titans are going to go in as a favorite, and in the past, they generally don't play good as the favorites. It's a division game. It's an AFC game. And like you all said, we'd never beat Andrew Luck. So to me, I think the Titans can answer a lot of questions if they win this next game. I think it's going to be one of the biggest games they're going to have of
Eric,
the season.
I could not agree more. Thank you for your call. I mean, every game's a big game, and so it always feels like the next game is the biggest game. But, boy, this Colts game is a big game. And I was thinking about that this morning. Like, you know, I feel like the Colts game is such a huge game, but if they beat the Colts, we'll just move on right on after that game.
And it's just the next
game.
I mean,
is the big game.
The thing that I think they need to understand, if there's anything long-term that they need to understand, it's that they control their destiny. They don't have to wait. They've got themselves back in a position where they don't have to be sitting around saying, okay, if New Orleans beats the Rams, then we're in. Or if New England loses, then we're in. I mean, they can literally control their own destiny. And there's not many times in the league you get that opportunity this late in the season, unless you're, you know, really, really good team. So, I mean, I think they have to understand that every one of these games is, we thought New England was big. This Indy game is much bigger than New England.
And on top of that, like, haven't we learned over the last month? You can play with the big boys in this conference. You can play with New England. You can play with the Chargers. We don't know if you can play with Pittsburgh or Kansas City, but I feel like you probably could. You know, I mean, I don't think you could beat Kansas City, but if you played them, like, their defense sucks. You would be scoring touchdowns on Kansas City's defense. So you can play. But we also learned last month that you can lose to the Bills. So that you can lose to everybody too, which goes back to Floyd's point. This is the NFL, which is the Floyd Reese
and thing. You know, Buffalo is the number one defense in the NFL.
Are they really?
Yes.
Oh, how about that? And they still suck. Brenda is up next here on Jared and the GM. Go ahead, Brenda.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Hope
Always.
You guys are doing okay today. I just wanted to say I agree with the GM, and I believe if Titans will just take it one day at a time, delve into today, be happy, and tomorrow go back to work because the next game is the next game. And go Preds tonight. Love you guys.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you.
We love you too. Preds tonight at Anaheim. Preds are winning every game as they could big come from behind win in overtime the other night. Congratulations to them. Bad news for them. Arvidsson back to the IR. That is at least worth worrying on some level or another. Coming up next, there is one thing about yesterday's game that I do not like, and you should not like it either, and we'll get into that coming up here on Jared and the GM, and I don't even think the GM likes it, and it's very hard to find things that you don't like, but we'll get into that coming up next. Jared and the GM are right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on The Game Nashville app.